Live from the old Austin Opry House in Austin, Texas, it's the After Reality TV Podcast.
This is the final rose, final rose tonight.
But first.
When people stop being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
Good job, Mr. Spoken.
Killed it. Good job.
Welcome to the After Reality TV Podcast. I'm Spencer Kitley.
And I'm Danny Oler.
And it's good to be into week five of The Bachelorette, and the hits keep coming. And this week, we're going to get into that. Also going to wind down some of our spring shows as we prepare for the big push into summer programming, where we know reality TV is king. And this week, we'll deliver our parting words on a couple of Bravo shows, do some random reviews. Namely, one of our new favorite shows, The Island, and a little bit of news. Dano, another good week in reality TV. But before we get started, let all the people know where they can find us on the interwebs.
You can hit us on Twitter, at After Reality Pod, or like our Facebook page, The After Reality TV Podcast.
So, Dan, what's going on? What's shaking?
Man, I'm sad. I'm really sad. I'm in mourning.
Fill me in.
Dusty Rhodes, man.
Dusty Rhodes passed away?
Dusty Rhodes passed away.
The American dream.
It's a sad day today. I'm going to pour one out real quick for Dusty Rhodes. Hello!
I love Dusty. What was Dusty Rhodes' catchphrase?
Oh, I can't remember. I never understood what he was saying. I don't even know if he had a catchphrase.
Yeah, he had that heavy accent.
Especially as he got older, it got like heavier. And I was like, what? That's the best part. Like, he would go on for like 10 minutes. You're like, what did he say?
Well, and he's been involved in wrestling even into the most recent years. And in wrestling, definitely a fitting topic for this podcast. One of the true original kind of reality TV shows. Scripted reality, but reality nonetheless.
I would say all reality is scripted.
Except for The Island.
Except for The Island.
You can't make that stuff up. Man, that's sad. I didn't know that. At least he lived longer than a lot of those guys. A bunch of the wrestlers from when we were kids have all died. I mean...
Yeah, he was in his... 60, he was like 61, maybe somewhere in his 60s. I can't quite remember.
Yeah, I mean,
but
largely guys from when we were growing up that were big. I mean, Hogan and Flair are still alive, but
69.
Guys like Mr. Perfect, Rick Rude,
Macho Man.
The Texas Tornado, I think the British Bulldog.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on of guys that have just continually passed away. The Ultimate Warrior.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it goes on and on.
I mean, the guys from that late 80s, early to mid 90s wrestling era have not fared well in longevity of years, yeah. That's for sure.
That's a whole different subject we could probably talk about for a while, why that's going on.
Yeah, I could probably do a vintage wrestling podcast for a couple hours. maybe that's a spinoff show.
Maybe that's a spinoff show. Maybe
that may be the best spinoff show idea I've come up with yet.
Maybe after, into the lull, between summer and fall premieres, we could do a special edition of the After Reality Podcast. We'll do former wrestlers.
Yeah. Oh, well, Hawk from Hawk and Animal, Legion of Doom. Hawk died.
I think there's a website like that tracks all the dead wrestlers, like who died like young. Can't remember what it was, and they write about them.
Yeah, actually, I used to do this with some colleagues at another job where we had a celebrity death pool. So from that day going forward, you chose a roster of 10 people and no one else. You drafted them, and whoever had out of those 10 or 15 people, whoever had the most that had died by the end of that 12-month period won the thing. Mm-hmm. Sounds very morbid, but, very competitive at the same time.
Yeah.
It's not one of those things like a fantasy league, though, where you can just pick somebody up off of the waiver wire when they're on their deathbed or something like that. But it always was a controversy as to whether or not they were indeed a celebrity.
Okay.
So when we drafted, I wanted to draft one year. I wanted to draft Steven Adler that was in Guns N' Roses. They wouldn't let me draft Steven Adler. They told me he wasn't a celebrity. He was in like the biggest rock band in the world in the early 90s.
Yeah, but good, like, I don't think like 15% of the population could name who he was.
Yeah, but then he was on, right around that same time, he was on Celebrity Rehab, which certainly was at least C-list celebrity there.
Yeah, you know, it's borderline, yes.
I mean, it's, in my book, it's celebrity. I also wanted Seth Shifty Benzer from Crazy Town, but that one got voted down. That right about that time, he was smoking crack on the roof of the Pasadena Recovery Center with Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew wasn't smoking the crack, just Shifty. Wow, long tangent to start the show. Let's get back on track and tie this thing in. Let's kick it off with what else but the go-to, the Bachelorette. Last week, we left off where Caitlin was going to go sit down with Clint because 13 out of 15 guys didn't like Clint. Who doesn't like him? I haven't heard anyone really come out and say, hey, I don't like him. And nor have I heard him talk poorly of anyone else. And that's kind of what he told her.
Yeah, but I think people were just his attitude probably rubbed people the wrong way. And I think she picked up on it too. And I don't know if it's filming or what it is. You could just tell, like, his attitude seems like this was a game to him and he was trying to just have fun, I guess. I don't know. More, you know, it's almost like he was there as a joke and he was the only person on that joke.
Oh, him and JJ.
Yeah. So I think they picked up on that.
It was interesting. I kind of felt – I liked Clint. At the same time, I felt like maybe he thought he was – he was the prize, I guess, is a way of saying it.
And I think all these guys are probably in their own, like, society, their world. They are prizes. That's the crazy thing. Like, the girls and guys.
Would they be on the show?
Yes, because we forget that. A lot of the times, these people immediately leave the show, and they get boyfriends and girlfriends.
Yeah, you get a lot of... What would be cleat chasers in sports?
I think these people, it's not like they're not dating people. They just haven't found the person they want to marry yet. Or some of these people have been married and are looking to get back on the horse.
Get back on the horse. I like it, Dan. And something interesting happened when, after she had told him, hey, you're going to be hitting the road here. And that was, usually it's, I'm just going to take you out to the car. She says, let's go back and tell the group, which this is uncharted territory. Is it not, Dan?
Yeah, it is. I don't remember happening before.
I thought that was very interesting. That kind of tells me a little bit about how the sentiment of what's going on here with JJ and Clint and how the producers are really enjoying that extra dynamic. JJ, at this point, asked him to his best friend to apologize to the group for what he's done. Then, and that right there, as soon as he does it, total red flag to me that this is all still part of this act, this hoax that they're putting on.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are pretty tight. And it's like, hey, if anything were to happen, let's just blow this thing out and make it as ridiculous as possible. Clint and JJ then have an altercation. They almost fight. Clint's parting words, that tie looks great with your shirt, dick. At least I'm assuming he said dick. It got bleeped out, but it seemed like that would be what I might say there. Maybe he said a-hole or something. I don't know. Afterwards, JJ is crying, which was good for you. You got some points in the Fantasy for Reality game.
All right. Hey, they still owe me points. They still owe me points.
You need to tweet at them from our handle, from the After Reality TV handle. I'm not going to do it because that's like taking points away from myself, right?
Are you saying the After Reality Twitter handle has a little cachet over at Fancy for Reality?
Those are our friends over there. they've done us a favor or two in the past. There wasn't a game available that we wanted, and I reached out and said, hey, can you guys help us out? And more than happy to do that. And I think they do listen from time to time. We appreciate them over there, fantasyfullreality.com. Some great games. I don't know if they do – I don't recall them doing Big Brother in the past, but Survivor, the Bachelor franchise. They do Dancing with the Stars, Amazing Race, a lot of other things. So check out our friends over there.
All the free plugs you get, then we should get something.
Yeah. I wonder if they got any swag. Some hats, some T-shirts.
Koozies.
Get Dan a gold Fantasy for Reality thong. That's his thing, Jason Giambi style. Anyhow, after this whole – after the slump buster, after all this, the crying, the arguing, Caitlin decides, hey, I'm not having a rose ceremony. Harrison announced that they're all going to New York City, which we're sticking with the domestic theme here. And they actually put up in a hotel that I guess it sounded like it had been closed for many decades, the Knickerbocker. And then we got to see the first of interesting dates. Rapping with rap legend Dougie Fresh with
Dougie.
Sean B, Jonathan, Corey, Adam Z, Tanner, Justin, JJ, and Ryan. And immediately, I mean, who's the favorite on this date at the rapping date, Dan?
Caitlin. She's the best rapper there on the team, right?
Caitlin might have been. I'm thinking maybe I'm leaning more towards the African-American guy, Jonathan, on the date.
That's racist.
No, that's recognizing skill. if I put you in a room full of people and said, which of you 10 people and two of you are African American are going to be the best rappers? I'm putting my money on those two guys. Just saying.
I hope Vanilla Ice isn't in that room.
Or Slim Shady.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, the prevalence of more and more suburban white kids coming and being rappers has become quite in vogue of late.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're good. JJ again furthers his fake character on this thing, says he listens to no rap music, and that he religiously listens to Broadway show tunes. Obviously, this is fake. He's just crafting this fake character. I think it's great TV. I don't have a problem with it. It's just funny that it keeps going on. I enjoyed the Sean versus Justin Gosling versus Damon comparison that happened here. These guys actually had a pretty solid B-Rabbit style rap battle and tore each other down a little bit, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, overall the rapping it wasn't horrible for what you thought it would be. There were some bad ones, but I thought overall that wasn't that bad.
No, I'm with you.
I don't know if I can do any better.
I mean, I can bust some flows here from time to time, but that's just me. I like to pull something out a little every once in a while. I rap to the kiddo to get him to stop crying. It works. He likes the 1990s rap. So broke off a little something, something. A little something, something. And worst part of this date for me has nothing to do with the date. It's the fact that Nick Vial is at the comedy show, and he's hanging with Ashley Iaconetti, also known as Kardashian chick. And he's so weird and just a total douche, Dano.
So, where are the odds that ABC put him there?
I think there was definitely a something on his behalf, and then of course AB said, okay, here's a good way for us to integrate you into the show, let's get you out to this comedy show. But it was not him. Just I don't think they reached out to him. I'm sure that he reached out and said, hey, I really want to be on the show, what can you guys do for me? Which I'm a little surprised, because he's a pretty good job of alienating a lot of people on his last show. I was surprised that he's in the good graces of ABC.
Well, but that's because he's good TV. They don't care like if you like him or not. It's the fact that people know who he is, and he when he's on TV, people talk about it.
Yeah, I gotcha. It's and who knows? Maybe Caitlin was in contact with this guy, and
she said,
"Hey, I want him to be on the show." And then they had to craft a little way of doing that. Who knows? That may have happened.
What's the point of that, though? Then I don't know. That sounds silly. I would be like, okay, well, you guys can just go date then.
Well, she had to wait till the right moment to pull that that stunt. I'm just making stuff up as I go, Dan. I don't know. I'm just hosting a podcast. But this guy, I love to post some kind of poll or something on this guy. I don't think Nick Vial is good looking whatsoever. I feel like I'm a pretty good gauge. I know Sean B is a handsome guy. And actually, I'll go this far, Dan, that every guy on the show, save for maybe one guy, is better looking than Nick V. So it's not, for me, it can't be that attraction for her to Nick V.
I don't know why girls are attracted to Nick V. I don't know why Andy was so attractive to him.
He's a total sleaze.
Yeah, I think he's creepy, but I'm not a chick either. I don't know if girls like that. I don't know.
He screams creepy.
Yeah, he does to me. It's like icky. Icky, icky.
So.
What do you feel? Okay. What's your opinion on him joining the season pretty much halfway through?
If that's what Caitlin wants, that's what Caitlin wants. But
I agree.
But I think the look on Sean B's face when this is all happening really told the story as far as the sentiment from the guys, not the anger, but there's definitely anger. But it's like, are you so uncertain of what you have with us that you feel the need to bring in this other guy? I can understand those guys feeling that way. I mean, Sean B had this look on his face of, I could crush Nick with my bare hands, is the look that he had on his face.
I agree. I totally agree that it's up to, you know, if Caitlin wants him, you know, the goal of the show is to find Caitlin's next mate or whatever it is, her next husband. So, you know, if it's outside of the 25 guys she was given, then that's okay. But I can understand from the guy's perspective too. Like, you're still looking, you had 25 guys and you still can't find what you're looking for, then maybe you're not what I'm looking for too. It'd be awesome if like three of them just left.
I would love it.
Yeah, that would be good TV.
And in the same time, these guys have the added insight of knowing what Nick V is all about, assuming they watch the show, which it was very obvious some of them had.
Yeah.
So that it's not like just some other guy that they don't know anything about. They know that this guy's kind of a sleazeball.
Yes.
And what he said to Andy at the end of his season about what happened between the two of them in the fantasy suite, I don't know. Moving on. So this is all happening on the date. She leaves the date to go back and talk to Nick on the bow of the boat. And she is so into this guy, Dan. They're making out immediately, which definitely leads you to believe that there was more of a relationship previously other than just text messages.
Yeah, I agree.
Whatever that is. Maybe they're sexting each other all the time. Who knows?
Ooh.
Snapchat.
Snapchat, that's right. That's what the kids are using.
Yeah, so they totally had more of a relationship than text messages. She tells him she's not ready to let him on the show. She needs to sleep on it. Absolutely nothing has happened on this date after the wrapping. Nothing. She seems to be spending all of her time with Nick V.
Well, either with Nick V or thinking, or like thinking about Nick V as she would us want to, you know, us want to think. So if she's on a date, she's thinking about it. If he's not there, if he is there, she's making out with him.
Which is a really nice segue to the next day. Poor Jared's got this next date. She starts the day out. I had to bring this up because it's got to be a teaser for what's to come this summer on Bachelor in Paradise. She needs to talk to somebody, so she gets to go to get her hair done by Ashley S. of Mesa Verde fame.
She looked like normal and competent.
Normal and confident and attractive.
Yeah.
Not that she wasn't attractive on the show. It's just she was so crazy. But I was right about one thing. Caitlin talked about how intelligent she actually is, which was my theory all along, right?
Mm-hmm.
That she was kind of really smart and playing this character, which may or may not be where Clint got the idea or JJ got the idea for this character. So after getting her hair done, she goes to meet Nick, ask him to be on the show, and she's making out with him on the street corner. And then immediately has to go on this date with poor Jared. I'm thinking, this guy it's the worst setup possible. Her mind's completely preoccupied. She's thinking about Nick, not really much of anything else. But it ends up working out pretty well. She name drops a little Neil Lane product, so we have some product placement. Mm-hmm. And Jared ends up stealing the date that was destined to be a total dead end. What do you think about this guy? I call him Scraggly Jared. He actually cleaned up his face a little bit this week, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think it seems like they have some sort of connection, but you know, I just don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's the same connection that her and Nick have. It feels like the whole show's been redone now that Nick is here, and now he's like the clubhouse leader.
I wouldn't call him the clubhouse leader, but I'd say he's definitely in the top five. I still like both Ben's. I, of course, like Sean B. Someone else might be in there in the mix. I think the Dennis guy.
It's like they bring she single-handedly picked this guy to be here. You don't think he's like the clubhouse leader now?
I don't know.
I mean, she was like, she basically said that the rest of the guys aren't good enough, and aren't meeting her needs, basically.
Yeah, but it's always possible that she actually gets to know Nick V and doesn't.
Yeah, in 2 weeks maybe, but as of today, I think as of this episode, I think he's the clubhouse leader.
You're calling him the clubhouse leader, okay?
As of episode four.
You've been tentative all season to pick a clubhouse leader. Now you have one. So,
and you can tell why. I mean, she's been kind of dancing around because the guy she was looking for wasn't there yet. Nick V is that guy.
So after this date, she needs to break the news to the guys about Nick. She, of course, she's not gonna put him on a date, but you know he's gonna stay there. They're gonna have a rose ceremony. She's not gonna get rid of him, so certainly puts all the other guys on notice. This guy, he's gonna be coming into a hornet's nest. Obviously, we'll get a rise at the rose ceremony, and that's kind of where we left off at the end of the episode. But before we wrap up, I want to talk about this Broadway group date. It's Joshua the Welder, Adam H., who I think is in that group of favorites, Ian, Chris, and Joe. Only one will go on stage with Caitlin, and the rest go home. And some of these dudes are hilarious at this. I think it's best in this scenario, if you're just going to be terrible, to be funny and be able to laugh at yourself. And several of these guys did that, so good on them.
Yeah, it seemed like they had a good time. Got to chill and sing and be on a Broadway platform. Why not?
Chris Cupcake, though. I've always thought he was kind of cheesy, but thought he was in the front runner kind of category. Man, he was cheesy on this theme.
And think he earned that nickname, Chris Cupcake.
Yeah. Chris, yeah, Chris Cupcake. I was going to give him a different name, but we'll just go with Cupcake. Singing overly dramatic, mocking the song, but he's the winner. And they perform at Aladdin. They start climbing a building in Times Square, and I'm ready, Dan. I'm sitting there. I'm ready for our first private concert of the season. And nope, we get to see the Times Square New Year's Eve ball.
I guess the budgets are being cut back.
Maybe no one wants to play on this show anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. No, they will. Anyone will pay for play for a price, but if ABC doesn't want to match that price, then adios.
Hootie played that one, or Darius played that one time.
Well, yeah, he'll pay. We don't know how much he got paid to play.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't seem like a bad gig if you have a target audience of women 18 to 40 and you have a new album or something that's coming out. Might not be a bad thing.
Yeah.
So, next week, well, I think we'll jump right into it where Nick B rides the elevator into the hornet's nest and see what becomes of that. I don't anticipate anyone being any too nice to the fella.
Next week, I think they're coming to Central Texas.
Are they really?
Yes.
Where to, Dana?
I saw someone there. Someone said they're coming to Green Hall.
Green Hall. Really?
Yeah.
That's something to write home about.
Yeah, I saw something like someone, Austin Culture Map, whatever that website's called. I think they said that they're coming to the Bachelorette's going to be here in town. Not here, but near here.
Was here.
Yeah.
So are you gonna send some messaging over to our friends at Fantasy for Reality, see if you can score you some Brady points?
I should.
You need to do that. They got the end credits this week. You never know where it's gonna go from there.
I know. I was hoping they were gonna kiss. If they were gonna kiss during these end credits, I was gonna go crazy.
Did they not?
No, not during the end credits.
Well, that's certainly disappointing for you, isn't it?
Yes, very.
My DVR actually cut off before the end credits were over, so I didn't know if that was the case or not.
Yeah, extend the end time. You got to push it to like 15 minutes.
Okay.
I'm just giving you so you don't get cut off.
Yeah, well, Monday night's a crowded night on the DVR for me. A lot of different things going on. One show that we've been watching on Monday night as well, The Island over on NBC. We talked about this before the podcast, Dan. We touted it as what in terms of reality TV?
That is one of the realest shows I've ever seen.
Definitely. I mean, I don't want to say it's a life or death show, but to an extent it could be. It can
mess with you. It's going to be, going through what they're going through, like, and getting carted off on a helicopter, it's going to mess with you.
Yeah, well, and it varies, right? It's some guys are, get me out of here. Other guys are, no, I want to try to make this work.
It seems like the guys who could make it, if you can mentally make, it seems like all the guys are facing like mental hurdles they have to cross, get over. And it sounds like most of the group right now is getting over that hurdle.
Yeah, it's not an easy show. I encourage people to check it out if you like really any of the stuff we talk about. It's not super entertaining. But it is very interesting. It's very real.
It's entertaining in the sense that you feel like these guys are like minutes away from dying.
Well, I feel like pretty quickly you grow, I don't want to say attached, but you sympathize with these guys pretty quickly. It might be a fair statement.
Yeah, it makes you, then you watch that and you're like, well, what the hell's going on in Survivor? Like the things that they, like these guys on the island are using like, washed up trash as like tools and stuff like that. But at the same time, like in Survivor, you never see washed up trash on the beach. Here, it's always kind of in the background. So you imagine there's people picking up trash all the time, and I don't know. I think Survivor could take a couple things from the show.
Well, it certainly gives you an idea of how coddled they are on Survivor.
Yeah, and it does. You wonder they should take these guys who are on this show and put them in the Survivor.
Yeah. Well, back in the early days of Survivor, I know well before you watched it, but it was a lot harder. There was not all of this win something to eat every week or two. There was, here's some rice, and you're going to live on rice and whatever else you can catch or kill or pick off of a tree. And that's changed a great deal in the interest of television.
Sponsorships.
Yeah, well, they don't even do those that much anymore. They used to do the Outback or the beauty brands or whatever, and they haven't done that as much of late. So, anyhow, I like the show. I'm going to continue watching it. We're three episodes in, but
I only think it's like six episodes. I don't think it's that long.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's. I mean, how long are they supposed to have been? They're supposed to be there 3 weeks. Is that right?
I'm not sure. I am not sure.
Well, anyhow, did you watch the Shaws of Sunset reunion this week, Dan, or part one of the reunion?
Yeah, I caught it.
People have some
issues. I think they're. Seems like the group is breaking apart.
Yeah, I say this every week. I just want Mike and Reza to be friends. I don't care about.
I think they're done.
I think it's gonna happen.
I don't know, man. They didn't seem to like each other in the reunion. There was no love lost between those two.
I'm curious to see what happens in part two. I think Reza's gonna be the bigger man and just be like, let's let it be done. And let's move on. I want you to be in my life.
See, I think it's one of those things that they won't be able to move on from. I think I think there's other things too. I think there's just like, this was like the cherry on top of their relationship.
The cherry on top of the cherry on top of the sundae.
Yeah, I think there's probably other stuff that, I mean, especially when you've been with someone for so long, you know, known someone. Yeah, you know, maybe their relationship has just run its course. I would be surprised, especially with Mike's wife. You know, once Mike is married, she doesn't like those people, so it's not like she's going to make an effort to go like hang out with Reza and crew.
Yeah, well, did you see the scenes from the part two? The crew does a 180, at least in the clip, and says that they love Mike and they want him to come home and be part of their group again.
That's probably a good clip they took, and then like the next sentence is them calling him a filthy liar.
Yeah, and then the next scene they bring Jessica out, and it all goes to pot.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and then next week, Asa's art lands her on the Homeland Security watch list. Curious to see if that's actual art or if that's those like demonstration things she's been doing.
How does Asa pay? I still don't understand how she pays the bills.
Is she the only one that we don't know what they do?
I think so. I mean, she's an artist, I guess. I don't know what that means, though.
We know Reza and Mike do real estate. We know MJ does real estate.
Gigi admits that she doesn't do anything.
Well, Gigi has like a hair extension line and some other stuff.
She doesn't do anything.
I don't. What does Asifa do?
She's an artist. That's all. I don't know. I don't.
Asifa.
Oh, Asifa. She might not do anything. She did so. I don't know what she did, but there were scenes where she was working.
Yeah, she's a gold digger.
Yeah. No. She brought up during the season what she did. Because I remember when she was rooming with Gigi, she brought up that Gigi sits around in her PJs all day watching TV, and Asifa's like, I gotta work. I gotta work. So.
And Bobby, I think, is quite the baller. But you know, we never talked about this. You know,
who Bobby the biggest, like, sold the company and became like.
You know who the biggest baller on this entire show is?
Who?
Shervin.
Who's Shervin?
You know, Shervin, he's the guy that kind of looks like Mike. That's part of their group.
Oh yeah, the other guy, that guy.
The guy that has that house on the cliff with all the cars, and that guy's a baller. Anyhow, I think it'll probably be just a two-parter. Hopefully it's not a three-parter, but they'll wrap that up. I finally got around to watching the Southern Charm reunion. On both of these shows, Dan, Shaw's, I think, probably pretty certain it comes back. Southern Charm, maybe. How do you feel on those two?
I don't know. I don't know if there's much more in Southern Charm. I don't know what else. I mean, is this going to be the same thing? It seems like the last two seasons. Again, these shows are good for like one, two seasons, but you know, is it going to be like Vanderpump, the third season, where you're like, nothing changes. It just feels like it's just the same thing over and over again.
Well, I mean, The Housewives is the same thing over and over again for like five, six seasons, right?
Well, yeah, it is, but it's like, it's dramatic. It's like they're yelling at it. They get drunk and they yell at each other every week. It's evolved. Like, that's basically what Housewives has come. People just get drunk and yell at each other every week.
Right.
And they used to kind of break it up by adding new characters, taking away old people. But now, you know, they still do that to an extent. But at the end of the day, it's really just them getting drunk and yelling at each other.
So, but just yes or no, will Shaw's be back?
Yes.
Will Southern Charm be back?
Yes.
Okay. Like I said, Shaw's for me is a yes. Southern Charm is a maybe. If Southern Charm's back, I don't think Ravenel's back. If Shaw's is back, who knows what they do with that cast? I mean, it's the most authentic group of people for any show, which we talk about that regularly. But it'll be interesting to see what happens in the future. I'm interested to see what Bravo cranks out during the summer season. I'm wondering if the Below Deck Mediterranean season is going to air this summer.
I thought I saw somewhere where it just started filming right now.
Okay. Then I was also curious if Are You the One was going to be on this summer, and I did not see a premiere date for season three of Are You the One, which. Don't know how that fits into what the challenge is or is not doing with those guys this year.
Yeah, we know. We'll find out shortly.
Right. So I did a little work actually while we were podcasting today. I promised this last week in the news segment, and that was the KISS leaderboard for The Bachelorette. I want to take a stab at who's atop the KISS leaderboard, Dan?
Caitlin. I think she's kissed the most people.
Which guy is atop the leaderboard? I don't think you'll guess in the first three guesses.
I have no that scraggly guy that you just talked about. What's his name?
Jared. Well, Jared does have four kisses, which is good for second place.
Yeah, that's who I would guess. I don't know.
Clint had three, which is good for third place. But sitting atop the leaderboard, not Sean B. And actually, I don't have Nick on this list because Nick wasn't on the thing. But I guess I should add him with, I'll call it three for him for this week. But the leader is Chris Cupcake, the dentist, with five. How about that? You didn't see that one coming, did you?
No, I didn't.
He actually had three this week. I don't even remember any of them, but apparently there was three.
Well, he kissed her on stage.
Oh, that's a cheap one, yeah.
Yeah. Kissed her up at the top of the ball.
And you're remembering things much better than me, Dano. It must be that fresh lease on life you have with the new employment over there.
That's it. And I'm sure you can easily sneak in one more, and that's pretty, you know.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Yep.
Any reality TV news over there in your world?
Have you been keeping up what's going on with Holly Madison?
No, enlighten me. Actually, I think you had something else you were going to enlighten me about. We talked about earlier. I can't remember what it was.
Well, let's talk about Holly.
Okay, go ahead.
I got Holly on the brain. Oh, apparently she's pushing a new book about her time in Hef's mansion.
Oh, wait, I just stumbled across a headline. Is this about thigh openers?
Yeah, she's burning bridges. I'm sure it's not a big deal to her, but yeah, she says like the first time she met Hef, he offered her like quaaludes, and he called them thigh openers. And she was like, "Yeah, no." He's like, "Okay, whatever. We used to do them in the 70s. It was kind of our thing." And then he just said, "He said that you know, it was very like
Wolf of Wall Street."
Well, I think the Wolf of Wall Street probably got it from him. I mean, you got to remember, Hef's been doing this for 60 years now. It just kind of like, she's just talking about how the whole time during, you know, the film, you know, during while she lived in the mansion, she hated it there, and how Hef was manipulating the girls all the time, basically trying to create a competition between all three of the girls, and how she isn't friends with any of them anymore. And they, you know, and they basically said it was the girls kind of act as it was more of a job than it was a, you know, a loving thing that was going on.
Gotcha. That's amazing. Chris Soules, J-Wow, and one of Holly Madison's former housemates, Kendra Wilkinson, they're going to appear on a show called The Worst Cooks in America. So Chris Soules, that'll be Chris Soules' fourth reality show, this one airing on Food Network.
How does he keep up all the farming? He's just a simple farmer.
I don't know.
All he is looking for love.
Man, if we didn't talk about anything else at all on this podcast, I have just unearthed something fantastic.
What is it?
The cast for Bachelor in Paradise. I'm gonna hit this, and I'm gonna be reading it for the first time myself as I read it. The Bachelorettes: Jillian, so Black Box Jillian; Ashley S. Mesa Verde; Jade Roper, the playmate; Carly Waddell, Zach's sister and funny girl from last season; Claire, we all know Claire; Ashley I, the Kardashian. Ooh, and Tinley Molzon's going to be back. I like it. Always a big Tinley fan. And then Julia Kinney, who she was one of the single moms from last season with Chris Soules. And then a mystery woman. The sexy mystery woman comes to Paradise this season with an attitude and connections that are sure to shock everyone.
Kaylin's going for the three-peat.
Andy Dorfman?
The track. Oh, yeah, could be her.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. Guys, Dan Cox. I think Dan Cox, he was on Desiree's season. Here, look up Dan Cox for me while I'm reading these things. See if you can jog my memory on who he was. Kirk, who was Bachelorette season 6 with Allie, but he was on Bachelor Pad 2. Kirk was always kind of a fun guy. He had the long kind of curly hair. Mikey T. I think Mikey T. Was Mikey T on last summer?
Yeah, he was. Right?
Him and James?
Which one's Mikey T?
No, Mikey T wasn't on last summer.
Yeah.
Mikey T was like the meathead type of guy.
I'm thinking the other meathead. See, there's so many meathead. I was thinking the meathead who hooked up with Michelle Money.
Oh, Cody Sattler.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be 4 cast members from the current season that are guys. So that may not be the complete group. Last year, remember, they released it in phases. I at least like the group of girls. Well, the group of guys, yeah. But I'm trying to remember who Dan Cox is, this guy.
If you see a picture of him, he looks familiar. I don't know if he had any.
I'm sure you drafted him in fantasy because his name was Dan.
Sure. I like to draft the Dan.
This dude's ripped up. I actually remember this is back when they used to give us the full questionnaire. I remember this guy being popular, but I don't know how far along he made it. Anyhow, any other news for you before we get out of here?
No, that's it. It's a light week this week.
Yeah. Before we do get out of here, let everybody know where they can find us online.
You can hit us up on Twitter at After Reality Pod. I always screw this up. After Reality Pod, or like our Facebook page, the After Reality TV Podcast.
Is there a question mark on the end of the Twitter name?
Yeah, maybe we'll add it.
I'm Dan.
Someone put it in the script.
And you were on Twitter. What's your Twitter name?
At Daniel Oehler, OEHLER.
You can find me at SpencerK11. Go check out our friends. Tell our friends over at Fantasy for Reality that Brady needs some points for his kisses. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. We're going to take the week off next week, but in 2 weeks we'll have Big Brother and The Bachelorette. But until then, we remind you, we like bears and Mexican food right here on the After Reality TV Podcast.